Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going this morning, and I am super excited about our time together in God's Word as we begin a brand new series this morning entitled The Secrets of Successful Families. The Secrets of Successful Families and Understanding What Happy Functional Families Have in Common. And we're still getting folks in, and the ushers are doing great. We're adding a few extra chairs, and I want to thank you for working with us. And we have been praying for today. We've been looking forward to today, and we have anticipated every one of yours attendance here with us. And as there may be a little line to get a Starbucks coffee or a donut or some fruit, as I saw some of you being disciplined and eating this morning, or if there's an extra minute in getting a seat, I just want to say in advance, thank you for working with us. You know, I'd rather go to a restaurant where you got to get there and get one of those buzzers and wait a few minutes, and maybe it takes a little extra time to find a parking place because the food is so good, then go to the restaurant where you can walk right in, you can park right in front, and you can get right to the table because it's not as good. And the Lord is blessing our class, for which I am grateful, and I appreciate your flexibility. And we're praying the Lord will give us a new classroom. We've got a few thoughts already in motion. Tobin leaned over to me in the back, and he said, "Brother Rule, you better get that going. We're going to need to move." So anyway, we're working on that indeed, and you be in prayer for us for that. Before we dive into the new series and begin to kind of set the table for that, I want to take a minute and just welcome our guests this morning. And we've been praying for you. We're so glad you're here. We just want to say hi, and I want to say hi to you. Thank you for being our guest. But then I want to know our class members know where you are, because I want them to be able to greet you as well. And so we have this morning Sean and Wendy, and Sean's standing, actually, his wife Wendy right here, and they're visiting their friends of Shane and Tavia from Colorado. So we're thankful they're here this morning and with us. And then Lee, and Lee, where did you go on this morning? Right here. And Lee is Brother Shane's neighbor, just a few doors down, visiting us last weekend for Easter. Great to have you this morning. Thank you for being our guest in our class. And then Sabelle and Edgar right over here, and these are a friend of Harold and Jenny, and usually has to run off to work, and today was able to come, and so we're so glad this worked out in your schedule. Thank you for being with us this morning. And then Lee and Sonny right down here in the front, thank you for coming and being our guest. Great to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you making the effort. And then Jonathan and Sanitra, is that right? Where's Jonathan and Sanitra at? Right over here. And good to have them. What is it? Anitra, thank you. And I'll get that right and I'll work on it, but thank you. They came, what I think it was 2 weeks ago, and the Lord led them to make the decision to accept Christ as their Savior. They came back Sunday night and got baptized, and he's going to be teaching next week. So it's neat to see what they're doing already. So anyway, good to have them here this morning indeed. And then Roy and Adriana Goss right back here. And Roy and Adriana, good to see you. And so appreciate you being here, being our guests together today. And then Chris and Selena as well. And Chris and Selena, where did you move on me here this morning? And Chris, right back here. Selena, good to see you. And Chris is still coming, but Selena, good to see you this morning. Well, you got it, and good to see you. We're so glad you're here indeed. And I just saw my brother slip in, Jesse and Brittany back here. Good to have them this morning. And I was looking for them. They told me they're going to be here, and I was going to mark them absent. So anyway, but I'm glad they made it, and good to have them this morning. We have other guests still making their way in. And I just want to pause and tell our guests, thank you for coming. And the fact that you would take the time to get here and to be our guest means the world to us. And I pray that we'll get your response card, because we want to pray for you. You'll get a gift from us this morning, and it's just a token of gratitude for being our guest. And then I know our class members are super excited to meet you and get to know you as well. So thank you for being with us together this morning. Well, today we all are guests in the sense of we're all here for the first week of this new series, The Secrets of Successful Families. The family is God's creation, and He designed it to be a reflection of His nature. It's an extension of His authority, and it is designed by Him to accomplish His work here in the world today. The family is the most essential and the most noble of all human institutions. It all begins at home. This is indeed God's design. And nothing can replace the family designed by God. Not government, not schools, not redefined families of our modern culture. Nothing can replace the family as God designed it. From the first day of creation, because of these things I've just told you, Satan has been attacking the family. Satan has drawn a target on every home represented in this room, and he, with an unholy vengeance, is attacking your home. Satan desires for every marriage in this room to fail. Satan desires for every one of our children to fail. Satan desires for every Christian home to fail. You say, Brother Rule, this is kind of discouraging. Just hang on. We're just in the introduction and it's going to get good. But we need to understand the fact that an attack has been waged on our home. Why? Because when you're living in a time of peace, there tends to be a bit more casual approach to life. There's no problem. There's no enemy. There's no threat. All is well. Let's not worry about it. But when you understand you're under attack, we have some in our room, in our class that are enlisted. When you understand that your life may be threatened, then it's going to affect the way you live. It's going to affect the way you operate. It's going to affect everything about what you do. And we need to understand this morning that indeed our homes are under attack. And Satan views hurting and dysfunctional families as trophies in his war against God. Every marriage he wrecks, every home he disrupts, every life he destroys. Satan takes that and puts it on his mantle. It's a trophy in his war against God. Satan hates God, but he can do nothing to God, for God is more powerful. But God loves you and I, for which we are thankful. And so Satan, by the very nature that God loves us, hates our guts and wants to destroy our lives and especially our families, and he's working on it all the time. He understands the important strategic place of the family. Now, God has instituted the family, and he wants to do something special through it. And the very fact that it's under attack by Satan is a proof of how important indeed the family is in the social fabric of our country and our world today. Now, God has a standard of truth for the home. It's found right here in his word. And for the next 7 or 8 weeks, we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to study the Bible and then truths that we find therein as they apply to our home so that we can operate in the way that we should. And in this series, we will strive to uncover 7 essential traits that happy, functional homes have in common. 7 ingredients that make their home tick that we want to make sure we have in existence in our homes as well. Now, family success has nothing to do with luck or fate. You may be here this morning and think, well, if we had the life that Pastor Gabe had or the life that Brother Mike had or somebody else in the class, if we had their life, then our family would be good as well. Listen to me. A good family has nothing to do with luck or fate. It has everything to do with obedience and submission to God and his eternal truths. Everyone in this room, doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what your background is, everyone in this room can choose from this day forward, we're going to obey God. Amen. Everyone in this room can choose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everybody can choose that. And God wants to bless everyone in this room who makes that choice. And so as we strive to uncover these secrets, these characteristics of these homes, we're going to begin today with lesson number 1. On a correct priority structure. A correct priority structure. A successful family must have a correct priority structure. A diehard fan was surprised to see an empty seat at the Super Bowl. And as he was noticing the empty seat and finally concluded that nobody was coming to fill it, he saw the lady sitting next there to the empty seat and he said, "Ma'am, I can't help but asking out of curiosity, who's supposed to be in that seat? It was the Super Bowl." And she said, "Well, it was my husband's, but he died." And the man said, "Oh, I'm very sorry." And a few minutes later, he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I just can't help but asking. I mean, I recognize you lost your husband, but it just seems peculiar to me that maybe not another relative or friend or somebody would come with you to the Super Bowl." And she said, "I know, it beats me as well. They all insisted on going to his funeral." And indeed, her priorities were a little out of whack. And sometimes in our lives, we can get a bit distracted with maybe things that we enjoy, things that we're involved in, and our priorities can get out of whack as well. Now look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye," what's the next word? First. "The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you've got your copy of God's word, flip forward a few chapters to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, just a few pages from there at Matthew 6. And let's look together at Matthew chapter 22. The Bible says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, God begins to paint for us a picture of some priorities that we should have in our lives. First of all, God should be our first priority. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he begins in the 22nd chapter of Matthew to remind us of our love to the Lord and our love for others, that we should love our neighbor as ourself. And in the Word of God, God teaches you and I much about our priorities. And successful families are always families who have in a correct priority structure. They have a way in which they live their lives. They have a pattern by which they make their decisions. They have some things in order, some rocks in the jar, if you will, that are non-negotiable. These are the priorities of their home. And the establishing of these priorities in our families is a big deal. Why? Because it's the difference oftentimes between being blessed and being cursed, between being successful and being a disaster. We've got to have these priorities. These priorities for our home are like tracks for the train. They get the train from point A to point B. Well, getting our home from its inception to standing before the Lord and bringing honor and glory to Him, we need these priorities that they might provide guidance for our lives and for our home. So this morning, I want us to study three important truths which can help you and I understand the importance of biblical priorities, and then encourage us to pay whatever price necessary to establish these priorities and protect these priorities in our lives. Number one, as we jump into this morning, let's look at the priorities that demonstrate our value system. The fact that priorities demonstrate our value system. Now, I think everybody in here this morning would say, Brother Gabe, we have values. We have a system by which we believe, or we have a system by which we operate. I think if we polled the class this morning, there would be a unanimous answer to that: we value God. I think if we polled the class this morning, there would be a unanimous answer that we value our spouse. I think if we polled the class this morning, there would be a unanimous answer that we value our children. And I think in principle, we would agree on the values that we should have in our home as a Christian home. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Our priorities demonstrate what our values really are. So we can say that we value God, but where God lands on the list of priorities is where we really value Him. We can say we value our spouse, but where our spouse ends up on the priority list is where they are really valued. We can say we value our children, but where our children end up on the priority list, how much time, energy, and resources of our lives are being devoted to them, is really where they are valued. And our priorities demonstrate our value system. And most importantly, they demonstrate the value system we're passing on to our children. You see, if we're not careful in Christian homes, in mind, we're saying, we value God. He's most important. That's what we're passing to our children. No, you're not. You're passing to your children what you live. So if in value we say God is number one, but if in priority he's number 10, that's what gets passed to the kids. Because they see where we spend our time, they see where we spend our energy, and they see where we spend our resources. And if those things in our lives are to something else other than God, then that's what they get. That's the training, that's the guidance, that's the lineage they receive from us. It's our priorities. And our priorities are either enforcing our values or they are uncovering what they really are. Our priorities demonstrate what our values are. Now, what our values are that we would say, first of all, letter A is God. I think, again, we would all say, of course, Brother Gabe, we value God. The Bible says in Luke 14, 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. God says, listen, your love for God should be so strong that in comparison to your love for others, it would be as if you hated them because you love God so much. God's certainly not advocating that we love our spouse hate our spouse or hate our children. If you're here today and you're like, wow, what a class. They told us to hate each other or whatever. No. That's not what God is advocating at all. God is not advocating that we hate our spouse or hate our children. He's just saying that his love in comparison to that love would be like we hated them because we just love him so much. That's the level that God should be on. And again, I think in our value system, we would say that's true. But we've got to examine this morning, our priorities are our values. Our priorities are our values. So who gives God priority values God. And who does not give God priority doesn't really value God. In fact, whatever they prioritize more than God, what they're saying is they value that more than God. In fact, the Bible says it's idolatry. For some, it's their career. Oh no, Brother Rule, I value God. Okay, let's just look at your last month. Your time, your energy, your resources. Where does God really rank? Do our priorities support our value? Or would we be able to see this morning that, you know what, we have actually valued something more than God? Because if the truth be known, it holds a place of higher priority in our heart than God really does. Our priorities demonstrate our values. They help us to really see where our heart is. And when God examines our priorities and he begins to scrutinize what we say and then compares it to what it is that we do, God is looking for, are we his children putting him first? Because if we are, he knows we value him. But if we are not and we are putting something in his place, he views that as we are devaluing him. None of us in this room want to stand before God guilty of devaluing God. So we all need a reminder this morning, Lord, in value, you're number one. Help me to make sure in priority in my own life that indeed you are. God should be number one. Number two, or letter B, our spouse. God says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The first commandment giving to marriage is in the Bible, that they should leave father and mother, that they should cleave one to another, that they should begin to weave their lives together. And we know clearly from the scriptures that our marital relationship should be the most important earthly relationship we have. In fact, it should be the most important relationship we have, second only to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's God's intention for our marriage. But again, we could say in this room this morning, as in a sense of value, we agree. We would, on a list of 1 to 10, Brother Rule, we would all write that as number two. Okay, great. But let's look at our priorities. Is it really number two? Is our spouse getting our best? If we evaluated our time, if we evaluated our energy, if we evaluated our resources, do our priorities support the value of our spouse being number two, or would they expose the fact that we say they're number two, but indeed we have devalued them because there is truly something in our heart of greater priority than they are? Every husband and every wife has to make that assessment. Where is my time, energy, and resources in relation to my spouse? Are they where they should be in my priorities? I'm not talking about the value system. I'm not talking about the mission statement on the wall at the house. I'm not talking about the fluff, because we can all fluff through, right? I'm talking about reality, the last 7 days. And by the way, I am preaching to this preacher more than I am anyone in this room. I could spend the rest of the class to tell you about my week. And it was like God's way of saying, and you're going to teach on priorities? You could ask my wife after class, I promise you. It's been a week. But every week I've got to assess my own life. Are these values proven in my priorities, in the way that I'm living? Thirdly, let us see our children. The Bible says in Psalms, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Thank you, Mickey and Tanya. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, the Bible says. These are God's gifts to us. And if you have been blessed with children in your home, no doubt God has blessed you. And God says these are to be a major priority in your life. And I think all of us, again, in principle, would say we value our children. We understand that biblical principle. We agree. But we have to examine, are they really a priority? Are they getting the time, energy, and resources from us that they deserve? No man is ever going to get to the end of his life and looking back over his legacy and say, boy, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. It's not going to happen. And every one of us are guilty at coming to the end of the week and having spent too much time at the office and missed that dinner or missed that family night or missed that devotion time or missed praying with the kids before bed or missed that date to take your little daughter out and have a milkshake and sit across the table and laugh and look her in the eye and tell her you love her and she's special to you. And every one of us have to look at our lives and say, you know what? If we're really going to be successful families, we kind of got to get through the smoke screen. And we've got to look at what we really are. We may have the verbiage, but what is the reality? What are we on the inside? What do we know ourselves to be? Where does God rank? Where does our marriage rank? Where do our children rank? Could it be that we have put something in their place? And by that very nature, we have devalued them. And now we have dissension. We have God at odds with us. If we made any decision this morning, it would be to get God back at number one.
Amen.
Because if we're going to have a successful home, we know we cannot do it on our own. The arm of flesh will fail us. We've got to have him. One of the greatest decisions we can make is, Lord, you're going to get back in your place. And we're not touching that again because that didn't work. And we need your help. And we need your help to get our marriage where it needs to be and our children need to be and so forth. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, and the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. God says, listen, you make this right, you won't regret it. Yeah, but I might not get that promotion at work fast enough. Who cares? Yeah, but we might live in this home where we could be living in that home. Who cares? Yeah, but we might be driving this when we could be driving that, or we might be wearing this when we could be wearing that, or we might have this or that. Listen, in the big scope and picture of life, we're valuing things more than we are people. We're out of priority, and it's affecting our home. The Christian home has to assess itself and say, God, are you number one? Is our marriage where it should be? Is our children where it should be? If we will make this right, we will not regret it. It's easy to say no when a greater yes burns inside. Why am I let so-and-so down? I'm not going to answer to so-and-so for my life. Well, so-and-so may never understand that kind of a thing. I mean, I was climbing the ladder, and I was accomplishing this, and I was accomplishing that. What does God think? That's the question we have to ask. What does God think? Where do I stand before him? So I've got to take the time to understand my priorities are demonstrating my values. They're revealing where I really am. Secondly, then, I must understand that the right priorities promote the health and growth of the most important things in our lives. When my priorities are right, then the areas that I really value get better. An example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we could certainly apply that to God's house, right? when I'm obedient in my tithe, now my heart is invested in the work of the Lord, and that would certainly be an appropriate application. But let's take that and apply it to the home in our series here together this morning. This verse is teaching you and I that our real feelings, our real focus, our real energy is going to be wherever we deposit or secure our treasure, our time, our energy, and our money. So God is teaching you and I, wherever you put time, energy, and money, you're going to focus there. So if God has kind of not even been on the radar, you're probably not giving him time, energy, or resources. Because if you were, he'd be on the radar. If your spouse isn't even on the radar, they're probably not getting time, energy, or resources. Because if they were, they would be where they should be. And same with our children. So we've got to understand that when we get our priorities right, the health and the growth of the most important areas of our life benefit. They help you and I improve the areas that truly are important. Now listen, no one in this room can do it all. Nobody can be the best Christian, the best husband or wife, the best parent, the best employee, the best soccer player, the best softball player, the best woman's group leader, whatever. Nobody can do it all. You know, the greatest coupon shopper, you know, whatever. I don't know what all the groups are. But nobody's going to be the best in all of them. Which means we're all going to have to make choices. And our choices should be determined by our priorities. And when our priorities are right, it's focusing our time, energy, and resources in the right areas, and then the right areas improve. And by that very nature, some sub areas, some secondarily important areas in your life that may have been a little out of whack in priority are going to suffer, and we have to be okay with that. Well, I just don't know if I can do that. Priorities. Priorities. I've got to make sure my resources are going in the right way. Now, what are some biblical priorities? And I put these there in your notes. Number one, God. Number two, our spouse. Number three, our children. Number four, our ministry. By that, I mean, what did God create you to do? You know, I'm in business, or I do this, or we're in real estate, or, you know, we have this vocation, or I'm this IT guy, or whatever. And many of you are so gifted in so many areas. But what did God create you to do? Where's your spiritual giftedness? What did God create you to accomplish? That's what I mean. That's going to have priority in your life. Then certainly your job or career, then others, and then you. And this is a very simple look at it. But I believe that this illustrates a biblical look at our priorities. And when we think about our time and our energy and our resources, it should be that God is getting much more than our job, and that our spouse is getting much more than our friends, and that our ministry is getting more than we might be giving ourselves. And it must be that we look at our values and our priorities and we say, Lord, help us to live the way we believe, by biblical priorities. Someone once asked Tom Landry why he became so successful as a coach. He said, in 1958, I did something everyone who wants to be successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life, and they are God, then family, then football. He said, that's how I got to where I am. It's been said that biblical priorities are the protective parameters to keep the most important things as the most important things. How many of you have been blessed with children? Would you raise your hand? Okay. God's blessed my wife and I with four. And I want to tell you something. I've been taught my whole life that I'm going to blink and these days are going to be over. And I do not want to come to the day of taking that girl down the aisle and handing her hand in some jerk's hand. And in my mind, regretting it, thinking, I wish I had. I don't want to do it. And I'll be honest with you, there's some weeks I fail. There's some weeks I get to the end of it and I look back and I say, what was I doing? Yeah, but you helped this person and you did this and you did that good thing. That's not according to my priorities. I was out of whack. I was out of line. And I can't get that back. John Wooden used to tell his basketball players when he'd see them slacking in a practice. He'd pull Bill Walton aside. He'd say, Bill, I saw you only giving 80% today. Now you may have been up last night studying or talking to a girl or something. And you may be thinking tomorrow you're going to give 120% and make it up, and by game day you're going to be fine. He said, but Bill, I want to teach you something. Every day you don't give 100%, you leave something on that court you could never get back. Because you see, even at your best, you can never give more than 100%. So every day you give less, you leave something there that can never be made up. Every week of my life that I live out of priority, I cannot get it back. All I can do is correct and get back to living in priority. But I can't go back and fix what I missed. And I'm not here to discourage you, and I'm certainly not trying to discourage me, but I'm putting a level of reality to it. We can't sit in this room and know we're out of priority and say, well, yeah, that might change sometime. It's got to change now. It's got to change right now. Man, I don't want to go one day. The Lord could come back today. I mean, I don't know how much time we have, but my priorities, if they're out of whack, they need to change right now. And I need to have an assessment, a system by which I'm making sure I'm living by priority, a biblical priority. If I'm investing my time, energy, and resources there, the most important areas of my life will flourish. And yes, there's some other area that somebody may be telling me is so important, but if God is not laying an importance there, then I better be careful to lay an importance there. Do my priorities match this book? And does the way I live my life support that? That's what we're talking about. And then thirdly, as we close, the three essential priorities are this: God, family, and the church. And as we close in a minute or two, we must first of all let Ray understand them. And I'll hustle through this quickly. What do I mean by that? I put that in there just to make this quick differential. I listed God and church separately on purpose. Why? Because sometimes we can mistake our religious activity for a close relationship with God. Now listen, I need church. Every time the church doors are open, I need to be there because I need the preaching. I need our class. I need everything about what church offers me. In fact, that's why God tells me in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of myself with the church every time that I can. But I've got to be careful that that's not, in my mind, being interpreted as a walk with God. God said to Martha, you're cumbered about so many things, but here's Mary at my feet spending time with me. Listen, I know what it is to work in the kitchen. I know what it is to be Martha. I know what it is to be busy doing something for God, but may I never mistake that for being at His feet. I've got to have time there. So I need to understand these priorities. But then letter B, I need to establish them. If you love me, keep my commandments. Establish them. Class, my encouragement to you this morning, establish priorities. Establish priorities. Ask God. Study His Word. Pray. Ask a leader in our class. Help me to establish the right priorities. Establish them. Don't go another week out of priority. Don't go another week devaluing God or your spouse or your children because in priority something has taken their place. Don't do that. This morning, be humble enough to say, God, forgive me. I'm going to establish the right kind of priorities. And then lastly, protect them. Protect them. Get some grit and say, listen, we're going to keep these priorities. We're going to hold them true. We're going to stay by them, and we're going to protect these priorities in our lives. Once we establish these priorities, then we have to protect them. We opened the introduction with the fact that Satan is going to attack the home, and there's no doubt about that because God has instituted for His work. And as we establish these priorities, we must work together to protect them. And I want to encourage you this week, as you understand what biblical priorities are, and as you establish them in your life, then get your boxing gloves on and get ready to protect them. Because the minute you begin to set out to please God in your home and the way you live your life, Satan's going to fight. There's no doubt about it. But if we will, as we talked in the beginning, obey and submit, God will bless. Listen, He's on our side. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He that is in me is greater than he's in the world. With God, nothing is impossible. This may look like a lot of work, but with God's help, it's going to happen. Amen. So I got to know what these priorities are. I've got to establish them, and then I've got to protect them. Think of it this way. Do you really want God thinking anything in your life is more important than Him? Do you really want your spouse thinking someone else in this world is more important than they are to you? So with that same mindset, put these priorities in place and protect them. Protect them. It's easy to say no when a greater yes burns inside. And may we strive as successful families to put these practices into place that the structure of our homes would bring God honor and glory. And I think if we'll do that, we're off to the right start to understand what these homes have in common and what we can do for our home to be a functional place. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for some time together today around your word. Lord, thank you for a few extra minutes and folks' patience. And Lord, I pray today that as we begin this series, that we would assess our own homes and lives. Lord, may we look at our priorities. Our priorities backing up our values because they're certainly declaring what they are. And Lord, may we understand them. May we invest our time, energy, and resources in the right places. And may those things flourish. And may we establish biblical priorities and then protect biblical priorities. And Lord, I pray throughout this series that we would examine what makes successful, happy homes tick and then help us to apply that to our own lives. Bless every family here today is my sincerest prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.